Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 10th, 2022. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, American Jewry should stay out of Israel's internal affairs. The results of the general election in Israel are very difficult to swallow for many American Jews. Not only did they prefer Yair Lapid to Benjamin Netanyahu as prime minister, they loathe Netanyahu's likely coalition partners. The New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman was explicit about it, writing, "The Israel we know is gone, and Lord save us, if this right-leaning government is a harbinger of what's coming our way to America." He also stated that every Jewish student who supports Israel and every Zionist American Jew will have to rethink their support, and every Israel-supporting politician will dread being interviewed about Israel. Friedman is not alone. In the weeks and months leading up to the election, Jewish American organizations poured millions of dollars into the Arab society in Israel to encourage them to vote in order to weaken Israel's right, since they vote for Arab and anti-Zionist or Islamist parties. Sami Abu Shehad, leader of the Israeli Arab anti-Zionist Islamist party Balad, asked in dismay during an interview, in Hebrew, on Israel's Channel 13, "Why would an American Jew, who doesn't understand us, Arabs, who doesn't know where we live, pour millions of dollars into building all kinds of mechanisms to raise the voting percentage, buses, phone calls, people going door to door, etc.?" The answer to Abu Shehad's question is clear and simple. They did this to prevent the state of Israel from democratically electing a government according to the will of the majority of the people. The truth is that the majority of American Jews think only about making their lives in America calmer and more convenient. For them, Israel is a pain in the neck. They want an Israeli government that aligns itself with American interests, at the expense of its own. This is how the majority of American Jews feel about Israel, and anyone who says otherwise is, well, a politician. I want to be clear about this: American Jews have no right to interfere with internal affairs in Israel, certainly not in the results of the election. They do not live in Israel, they are not responsible for what is happening here, and they do not have Israel's best interest in mind, only their own. There is an oft-cited argument that because American Jews donate to Israel, they deserve to have a say in Israel's affairs. If it were up to me, I would ban all money transfers from America to Israel, no donations, and no support. We will do just fine without it. Only those who live here should have a say in who runs the country. Besides, Israel's position in the world and the way that non-Jewish Americans relate to Israel and to Jews in America has nothing to do with the identity of Israel's prime minister. Israel's status is determined by the level of Israel's internal cohesion. The more united Israeli society is, the more it garners the world's support. Through their donations, American Jews increase division in the Israeli society, leading to more hatred of Israel and anti-Semitism in their own country and around the world. By trying to work only for its own interest, American Jewry is producing the very result it is trying to avoid: intensification of anti-Semitism. As is always the case with Jews, we have no enemies other than our own selfishness. Silence, a way of transmitting information. Question: words are power. Can silence be called a force? Answer: sure. This is especially evident in the family when the wife, for example, is silent. Her husband tries to get her to talk, but she is silent. Is that not power? Question: I do not know, I have not tried that, but it is hard to disagree. So she wants to say something with this silence? Answer: yes. This is a very strong form of information transfer. Or, when someone does not want to talk to you and declares a boycott. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, October 23, 2022. A 100-year-old woman's secret to a long life. Comment: I heard of a 100-year-old woman in Australia who said that a long life stems from a calm attitude to any tumultuous life events. She recommends not holding on to grudges and to live in the here and now. She said her motto was, "Don't worry about things that may never even happen." I envy these people who can treat everything like this. Answer: but they are not alive. Not worrying about yesterday or tomorrow, but living only in the here and now, is how a cow lives. Any animal lives in the here and now. If they have premonitions, that's another matter. But if this sensation is not given to them, then they live with what they have. Look at how they sit, stand, lie down, and sleep. Everything is very simple, whatever the body dictates. But not a human being. He burdens himself with all sorts of cosmic problems. Stars are exploding somewhere, and this worries him. Being concerned with where you are. This is life. But your calm bodily existence, this is the life of an animal. If you live only by what you have, the way the body lives, then that is all. Question: is it basically impossible to keep a calm attitude to tumultuous life events? Answer: that depends on the level of your attitude. I have a calm attitude to everything that does not concern me physically. I am blind to everything else, it does not exist. It is not about me. A Kabbalist is open to the whole world. He is open. It is not that he is running around to gain impressions and information, but he has to come out of himself and participate in the world, absorb things inside of him, take in all the problems of this world, and process them correctly. That is how he activates his correction. By correcting the impressions of this world and putting them back out. Question: so you understood in advance and understand now you are taking on a life that is not trouble-free? And this makes a Kabbalist happy, to live this way? Answer: it makes him happy because it is a necessity. Otherwise it is not life. A Kabbalist cannot live another way. One who adds knowledge, adds suffering. From Kab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, February 17, 2022. By what means do egoists want to feed the population of the earth? Once people made 5-year plans, plans for 30 or 50 years. Today, no one makes any plans at all. The main thing is to live for today, and that is it, and then something will turn up. Therefore, if we look from the point of view of the elites or a narrow circle of people who, as they think, choose to rule the world and force nature to act one way or another, it turns out that today there is no need for such a massive number of people. If we now quietly, calmly, without any problems, with diseases, deaths, and breakup of the family, and with people beginning to take seriously the rejection of marriage and having children, then within even one generation the population of the earth will be halved. Then, over the next generation, it will be halved again, and so on. That is, let's say, in a 100 years the population can be reduced to 2 billion. A generation is replaced every 20 to 25 years. Imagine if a couple give birth to just one, then the population is reduced in half. If they do not give birth to anyone, then this is a 100% reduction. Such research of population reduction plan ordered through the media, psychologists, and ideologists have long existed. Mass media, the development of the internet, family problems, the promotion of homosexuality, drugs, and divorce, in general everything, is aimed at destroying the concept of the institution of family. All this has already been calculated and special programs are being created. We can understand that this is being done painlessly, with love for humanity, because otherwise we will not survive on Earth. People eat each other, eat the Earth, and destroy its balance, which already does not exist. In order to feed the population in an egoistic way, there is not enough land. If we take into account the mountains, valleys, seas, oceans, forests, and pastures, it turns out we have an average of 14 square meters per person. It is possible, of course, to build a huge number of cities, but this is not rational, it completely depletes the earth. We have sucked everything out in some 50 years. It means that we have a serious problem that can be solved by reducing the population to a reasonable limit. This problem is solved by egoists who reason sensibly. How else can we solve it? A huge number of people are like bees, there are drones, there are the workers, and there are those that are not workers. But with bees it is clear that there is a value in all the groups. But not here. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Destruction of the Earth's Population, September 11, 2013. Contrary to the selfish nature. Question: why is there such a thing in nature that if a person commits some kind of offense, he must be punished? Answer: it is not punishment, but correction. Only people punish each other just like that. Nature punishes according to its program, therefore, this is called correction. In this way, it urges you to do what you have not done yet. Comment: I am asking about the nature of a person, about his desire to punish others. If someone has done something, he must be punished, imprisoned, and lynched. My response: this is how the egoistic nature of a person manifests, to harm others. After all, in accordance with this, I feel good because I live by constantly comparing myself to others. Question: how should it be? Answer: eventually there should be a completely different system with only mutual assistance in complementing each other up to the level of the creator, connection, and mutual guarantee, because we are all parts of one soul. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Ideal Punishment, October 5, 2013. A Woman of the 21st Century, Part 3. Spiritual War for the World. Only women, once they connect, can change the situation in the world and restore order in it. But unfortunately, women are not actively declaring themselves. Every country has laws that allow women to demand access to leadership in order to properly organize life in their countries. Usually women fight for their own rights, for equality, and it's perceived like a family showdown in the kitchen. But I'm talking about spiritual warfare. A woman must understand that this is the most important thing now, and she needs to oblige the whole world, similar to when a mother makes her children study, clean up after themselves, go to school, and Washington. This is how the role of a woman should be seen, as the mother of humanity. The whole world is waiting for the woman to begin to fulfill her role correctly and to obligate everyone to realize and attain the spiritual goal of the world. If we unite with each other in the right form, then we allow the upper light, the upper force of nature, to enter us, and begin to influence us. This is the role of a woman, the role of a mother. It turns out that the struggle should go not for the rights of women themselves, but for their ability to influence society. Women lack knowledge, connection, and organization. If they want to advance, they will have to learn a lot and accordingly connect correctly, learn about their mission, and with due wisdom and feeling realize their destiny. There is no other solution, just like with a child who does not want to learn. It is not easy for a woman to do this because throughout history she is used to staying in the shadows. Only the right education will help. We must start with small roles, and from them a serious organization will develop. A woman is obliged to know the program and purpose of creation, the stages through which we are moving forward, and how to reach them. Besides, women who begin to study today are preparing themselves to become leaders of society and humanity. You must be aware that you are fulfilling a special mission and must be more persistent every day and be ready to do everything to save humanity from those difficult trials that await us, if we do not correctly implement this special stage. I am sure that you are able to do this, and I am ready to help in any way I can. I wish you success. from CAB TV's Women in the New World, July 5, 2020. Part 1. Spread the spiritual matter. Question: when Balhasulam asked the Creator to bring him down to a lower level, did he clothe in the animalistic mind? Answer: no, it was the mind he had. He needed a higher spiritual level to contact his lower level. There was a big gap between his animalistic body and his upper spirit. It is necessary that there be a ladder, a gradual restriction to such a state when you can somehow depict the upper component, the upper vision, the upper sensation in the matter of our world in something like this, even in drawings, diagrams, or figures of speech, and give it away to people so that through your deed the upper light would pass to them. In this way, you lay down the spiritual matter for them, which gradually can even be clothed in the matter of our world. This is what he asked for. And he got it. Through him, we exist on both levels. Question: do you also do this kind of work? Answer: yes, but I cannot compare myself to such a giant. It is just a sad imitation. Of course, I am proud that I am in some ways similar to him and to my great teacher Rabash, that I am at least doing something to connect their levels with our world, with humanity. For me, the most important thing is that the world knows about them. From CAB TV's I Got a Call. The Mind of the Next Dimension, September 7, 2013. Michael Leitman, on Quora: is it natural for a person to live in frameworks? It is natural for us to live in frameworks because we emerged from the animate level of nature, where there is a very clear framework. The animate level is a clear framework of instincts. Everything in the animate being's existence, from its turf to its family, is organized in a strict and organized manner, with as little changes as possible. If we look at the primitive lives of prehistoric people, their frameworks were also very clear. They had also invented various cultures, beliefs and ways of organizing society. It was in order to keep people organized exactly according to their role, status and age in society. Everything was arranged so that people would feel their frameworks without being able to come out of them. There were clear definitions for masters and slaves, clothing, food, the daily routine, and for the children and grandchildren over generations. Nobody acted outside of their frameworks. We see such an approach in all cultures throughout history. Based on the video, is it natural for people to live in frameworks? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.